You are listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn. I am here with a very saucy crew. I'm going to start with the gentleman to my side, because I don't know the difference between left and right.
I was like, what side of the Las Vegas
too? Chris Harder, otherwise known as Go-Go Harder.
Hi, everyone.
Hey. And by the way, folks, this show, it's the first lineup that's all virgins.
Finally.
Yeah, and I have to say, it's one of the most physically fit crews I've had all together, where like I'm like a little shy because everyone's got this. Oh, we are happy to have you here.
I'm happy to be here.
Please tell us about your lady fair, Aurora North.
Oh, my wife is with me. I'll let Aurora North tell you about herself.
Yeah, and hello, Aurora.
Hi.
Hi.
Happy to be here.
Yes. Well, on that note, Aurora, do tell us, how did you create your stage name?
I'm going to divulge a personal story before creating the stage name, where Faux Pas asked me to be a duet partner for a Halloween show. Mm-hmm. And me coming from a dance background, had never heard of burlesque or known what. I don't know anything, yeah. So you had a Halloween show and asked me to be your duet partner. We learned an act and were backstage just before the show. And the hosts asked us, okay, so Faux Pas, how do we announce you? Because, you know, you always have to have a tagline, and what should we plug? And they said, okay, so how do we announce you? So Faux Pas, and here's me, first burlesque show, not a burlesque performer. And I had no idea, so I was just thinking, oh, I don't know, just use my personal name, Faux Pas and Meg.
So our premiere was Faux Pas and Meg.
I've been there.
That's so sweet. That's so like sad. That's like a movie from the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like Laverne and Shirley. So
yeah.
But then after once I realized, oh, I might actually go into this world, I thought, well, let's include my Canadian heritage. I have no idea, but I wanted something Aurora Borealis, because that's a Canadian thing, Northern Lights, but there's an Aurora Boobrealis, so yes. I didn't want to infringe on that. So I just thought simply, well, north of the States,
north of this world.
And it makes me think of Northern Lights.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Aurora.
There we go.
That is a beautiful name. Mm-hmm. Faux Pas, how did you come across your name?
Faux Pas Lafay.
Mm-hmm. That's
the
name.
Forgive moi. I'm so sorry. I've known you always.
It's fine.
On such a personal level, it's probably possible. Okay. Forgive.
Well, you know, it's when I came into burlesque 6 years ago, it was several years before I came out as a transgender person. So
yes.
I knew at that time I wanted a name that didn't state a gender, so I that was one of my criteria for myself. And I tried a couple things. Going to watch shows, and sort of I would go to a party and introduce myself as like Tester Names.
Sure.
Like Tester Names.
Tester Names. One of them was so dumb. It was Zombie Doll.
You did.
There are so many worse names than Zombie Doll.
I would hear it, but my game I would play, Method Burlesquer. I would go to an event or a party as an audience, but like all done up. And then if someone said, hi, I've seen you, or what's your name? And I'd say, Zombie Doll, and wait to hear them say it back to me to fear if I thought they just sounded like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, I hate that. And I think the other thing was I was in a really dark period and getting a lot of piercings, which that's awesome. But I thought, actually, I stepped out and had enough sense to go, do I want people to expect like zombie acts all the time?
Sure.
So I don't remember the day I thought of it, but I think when I thought Faux Pas, I thought, that really doesn't make any sense to me, but it's not male or female necessarily, and I was writing it down to see how it would look, and mm-hmm. And I thought, well, at the time, to me, it was really kind of like cynical funny, because I really felt, from a very early age, family people have made me feel like a mistake. And so,
right.
for the first few years, I
felt that you were just like one big walking, anti-etiquette. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then, when I was, you know, knowing I have to just live who I am all the time. Then I went through this conflict where I was like, well, gosh, I'm going to be a trans woman performer. I don't want to be introduced to someone who thinks they're a mistake. So I had a little bit of a minor performance persona crisis. Oh. But I'm getting bookings and sort of here I am. So I remember I asked a few people. And
I have to say, I've always thought faux pas was an incredibly strong name.
Oh, thank you. Several of my closest people, like Darlinda my burlesque mom, and Cherry Delight said, but we know you that way. Like, we don't even think of what that term means anymore. We just think of you. And so that helped. And then I sort of had to then go, okay, one, there's a practical. I'm marketed as that. Two, people say, I don't care what, I don't even think about that. It's just how I know you. So I sort of, for me, went through this process of, okay, if the reality is it's best to keep it, I added the LeFay because my transition to transition was just telling people when they asked, I'm just a fairy. Mm-hmm.
I love your dragonfly tattoo.
Thank you.
By the way.
It's
dragonflies.
Yeah, we're sisters. Yes. Since I'm Scotch-Irish Mohican, but I mean, like, one aspect of my family line is very much about that culture and that real. I have like a fairy encyclopedia, like it's our Bible, like, you know. So I just put that on the end because that meant something to me personally.
Yeah.
But I decided that it was okay that my name, because obviously in my day life I've legally changed my name now that I'm legally a woman, but I decided to go, you know what, I won't change my performer name, but I'll just embrace that it has transitioned with me and means something different to people
the
now.
The name is like an enigma.
Thank you.
It's its own brand.
So the name transformed or transitioned with me. So that's that story. Yeah,
that's a beautiful story.
Thank you.
I'm glad I asked that question. You know, you reminded me of... back in my sex worker days, you know, you always had to have a name. You had to have your sex worker name.
Yeah.
And I had a few duds myself. Mm-hmm. I had to test. Wrote Mona. It didn't work for me. Medea. That was off-putting.
Medea.
Drama. Maybe that was another bad. That was a stripper name, but that it kind of works in that realm.
Gosh,
but yeah, I kind of know.
Did you go by Mistress? Or what was your?
Well, when I was
title?
A dominatrix, because I went through the gamut. I did phone sex
as
when it
does.
Was really big in the early 90s. The internet nude modeling when it was just blowing up, and then I did some fetish films and. Pro sub work, stripping, of course, and then ultimately pro dom. And there were so many names, oh my god. But I think the last sex worker name I had was Mistress Electra.
Mine was Majesty Lynx because I didn't want to be a mistress or a master because I wasn't out. But I didn't want to false advertise.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So the most neutral, I decided to be Majesty because it didn't imply Mr. or Mrs.
Right.
And I never misadvertised with photos in my Dom ads. Mm-hmm. But since I didn't, while it's work yet, I like, it's artistic therapy, so I like it to be not lying to you. So I didn't want to advertise as a master or a mistress. So I advertised as a Majesty. And
that's fabulous.
So then attracted clients I actually wanted to work with. When I did that, so it was monetarily and, I guess, therapeutically fulfilling.
Yeah, sex work
topic.
Can be. Yeah. I can honestly say. And speaking of sex work, we're about to. Perfect segue. Really, come on now. Chris Harder.
Chris Harder. Really.
When I met you, you were go Harder.
Yes.
And then you became Chris Harder. You had a transition of sorts.
Yeah,
to tell me about your names.
Well, so my names. Kind of in line with you and you, Faux-Pas LeFay. Quick question for you. Because a lot of people like have nicknames for each other in the community. And with your name change, do you ever go by, do you prefer faux pas la fée when being dressed? Because that's absolutely fine. Or if you also went by, like, fée or la fée or, you know, like, Darlinda sometimes gets called, like, DJD or people call me Harder. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I just was curious if any nicknames, pet names developed. That's also, I hope, I don't mean to be intrusive either. I was just curious.
No, most of the people who are, you know, we all have, like, acquaintances, colleagues, into the more intimate friends or closer circles than friends outside of the stage. Mm-hmm. Most of the people who get to know me off of the stage, literally with this really, I can't do it the way they do, but really loving voice, just like to call me Fo.
Uh-huh.
Like,
yeah.
They don't, that's all they say.
Yeah.
Like, they'll go, hey, Fo. So,
I'm one of those.
Well, because I've caught myself a few times almost saying that, and I was like, well,
it's
fine.
To me, it's just the sound of affection now. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's not even the French meaning anymore.
Sure.
So that's what most of the, when I get backstage, if it's someone I work with a lot, they go, hey, Fo.
My favorite.
And that's really, I mean, I'm not saying if you say Fo Pa La Fay or hey, La Fay, fine.
Uh-huh.
But if you wanted to know the one I didn't choose it, that most people that have gotten to know me just use it. They just, hey, Fo. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. And again, you know, like, I think it's interesting because the
And
names,
when you were Go-Go, you were Harder.
Yeah. You know,
and
well, exactly.
Then you
always
became Chris and Harder.
Yes.
So
he's always Harder.
Harder seems to me the crux of the name
right.
here.
Oh, absolutely.
So what brought you to Harder?
So what was happening, right? Oh, so much. We have to make this interview entirely about me. I don't want to do that.
No, just
so,
here, you're sharing. You have the talking sticks.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. When I first started stripping, all the dancers were like, well, what's your name? Like, you can't use your real name, you know? Like, everyone has,
right.
Everyone has a name.
Right.
And I was like,
gotta
okay.
have a gimmick.
I mean, I was like, okay, that's stupid of me, but whatever. so I would try out different names too, but I could never keep a straight face.
Right.
You guys would be like, what's
right.
your name? I'd be like, I'm Dylan. Or you're like, I'm Bruce. Or like, so I would try this, and finally one day I was like, and you have to, I mean, if you just imagine, like, I'm dancing at the Cock, it's like
you're
2 a.m. Oh, what's
that's
that?
Okay. You're go-go dancing.
I'm go-go dancing at the Cock, it's 2 a.m. Like, I'm just trying, like, my goal, I think, at the time would be like, I could just make like $80 tonight. I could get home.
Oh,
you
know
you do
that
when you're like,
I remember that. I used to work at the Limelight.
Yeah,
I know,
yeah.
I know.
So like Tuesday night, dead, and someone was like, what's your name? I was like, why don't you just call me Go-Go or Harder? Because I'm a Go-Go boy. My last name's Harder. Get it?
And you're
doing,
working
and
harder.
And then I was like, actually, that's kind of cute.
Yeah.
So that's where that came from. And then when I started doing porn, I kind of, at first I made the decision really based on that because I didn't want to, again, go by something like, you know, Bruce, I don't know, West or something like that. Just because so many people knew me
right.
as Go-Go Harder. They, like, I'd been in New York long enough that it, you know, and I wanted to really connect.
And Harder does really lend itself to porn.
Yeah. And at the time, you know, I really wanted to connect porn and burlesque together for me. So I was like, well, I'll just go by Chris Harder. It's, you know, I was also, I think, I was kind of transitioning into what I hope was a more adult turn as I went into the adult industry. And I felt like Go-Go was this boy that I was kind of leaving behind.
And
I just got
Chris
out of,
is the man.
Yeah, in a way. So that was, and also, you know, it was just easier, I guess, at the end of the day. And I like my name, so I just decided to keep it as Chris Harder.
Oh, right on. Well, here's to stage names, folks.
Yes, cheers.
Velocity, do we get to know?
Yeah.
Yes,
how
child.
Did we have that happen?
Okay, I'm going to do my best to put this in a nutshell. It's not easy. So there's a whole story behind it. But they tried to diagnose me as a hyperactive child when I was a kid. And my father was a screenwriter. And when I was around, I'd say, 11, my aspirations was leaning towards theater and acting. And I was taking it really seriously, as a Scorpio does. Really seriously. And on one of the weekend visits, the father handed me the script that he had written, and he had based a character on me that was in her late 20s, living in an abandoned building, squatting in a punk rock band, and very much estranged from her father and a coke addict. And her name was Velocity. And I remember feeling really uncomfortable reading the script after he told me, oh, I base this character on you in the future. And I was like, oh. And to me, I guess in, like, in 1982, like, if your name is Velocity, you're not an actress, you're a porn star. Hmm. No offense.
No, yeah, you know that's what
I'm saying. But, you know, I'm like 10, 11 years old. I'm like, this is not my future.
Right.
Oh, right?
Of course, yeah. That's no. A lot to lay on a child.
And I remember when I was homeless and squatting and 27 and I had a mohawk, and I remember my dad molesting me, and I was 27, late 20s, squatting, mohawk, in the process of forming a punk band, soon to be called Vulgaris. And I was really, I had no mattress. I remember I was sleeping on top of my comforter, and you could see through the floors. Mm. Far down into the bottom of the factory. We were like on the top floor. And out my window, someone had painted a giant eye of Horus with spray paint on this huge football-sized rooftop. And I'd just gotten into numerology, and I was going to cast a spell and find my new name. I needed to be reborn to myself because I just hit rock bottom, and I needed to know I could be born again. And so I'm casting this spell, and there's candles on the floor because I didn't have an altar. I just had the floor. But I was standing in the circle, and all of a sudden, this big, giant raven crow bird lands in the middle of the eye of Horus and then makes a beeline for my window and just starts flipping out and flapping its feathers and going nutballs, and then just goes back to the eye and then takes off. And then I looked down, and all the candles had been blown out, or they were just, they were no longer burning. And I remembered out of nowhere that fucking script he wrote when I was 11. I was like, oh shit, I'm in an abandoned building, I'm estranged from my father. I've never done coke in my life. I've always been a pothead. And I remember in that moment thinking, wow, I better really not do coke, because everything else is so parallel. Like, God forbid I ever touch that drug. So to this day, folks, I've never had. But I remember, okay, so my name needs to be Velocity, clearly. Mm-hmm. And I'm his child. And they did diagnose me as a hyperactive child. So there's the name. I hope that was
the
nutshell.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing the nutshell.
Cheers, folks. Yes.
Cheers.
It's a drinking game now. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right. Yes. We do have time for one more topic. I am curious. How do you unpack your brain, Aurora North? What's your favorite thing to do to get away from the overculture and family or whatever? And
yeah. I don't think we have
voices in the head.
It's hard when you're so busy and you go from survival job, meaning day job, to performing, to after party, whatever, and then get home. One thing I think that's nice about Fopa and I that we've adopted, thanks to you for your rules, is in the morning, or at least not just in the morning, but especially in the morning, one thing that you said you think that would be great.
She shoots on the hip, and I like it.
I thought this was about you.
I'm bringing you in with me, baby.
You're going down with her, buddy.
Continue.
One important thing that you have suggested that I have adopted lovingly is that we don't have other people in the bedroom with us.
But explain what you mean specifically.
Wow.
Well, I specifically...
this is much more narrow than you're thinking now.
That's how you explain it.
Because other people in the bedroom is pretty obvious. Go all the way with that explanation.
You mean no one on the phone, like no computer, no phone, no Facebook, no Instagram, no Twitter, no...
Yeah, I don't just mean lover and the other... I mean no contact with anyone else. So no... Turn on the iPhone and check anything.
Computers can't come unless we agree, like we're having a work night, let's lay in bed. But it's not, it's especially in the morning, but it's not just in the morning. But I think that's one way that I can just not have my brain in that place.
I just want to be the first person that you connect with in the morning.
Right.
For like 2 minutes, right?
So it's totally not performance related, not anything in the community.
A moment of zen.
Mm-hmm.
What is your moment of zen?
Apparently I impose
for
zen.
You make that zen happen.
I took yours.
That's zen of a purpose.
Just to clarify,
how do you unpack
about
your brain?
Rules. Just to clarify about rules. I know it sound like Hillary in a debate, but in our professionally, I was only a dom, but in our personal life, we switched, so there's no just imposing rules from one direction or another. That was mine, but I have rules, too, which I'm not going to bore you with right now, because it was not the question.
We all have
the
boundaries.
Question is, how do I unpack my mind? I try not to, because it gets all over the apartment, and it's a big mess,
Which it is right now.
But I mean, I won't repeat what Aurora said, as I'm sure all of us and anyone listening can relate to the high wire balancing 80 billion things we all do. I think I'm successful, or unsuccessful, sorry, more times than I'm successful. Like, I have thoughts or strategies as to how to do it. Most of the time, it never actually works. And probably because, as Aurora knows, since we're all just different, dishes with different recipes. Even when I'm relaxed, it's not. You look at me and go, relax, and I think I am. And I'm like, no, and there's just so many things whirling through my mind.
If your jaw is still clenched, you're not
butt
relaxed. And I have bruxism. I grind teeth and sleep. My jaw's relaxed. I know I'm really genuinely relaxed.
I mean, I think the moments I can unpack the most are very brief. And probably the best way to explain it just very quickly is being a child who was like, military brat for the first half of their life.
I never knew.
Dad a pilot. And
hardcore.
In Vietnam when I was born, so really meeting my father was meeting a person walking
Did he have shell shock?
He did two tours. I don't want to go. I mean, not that I won't talk about it, but I don't want to take up the whole time. But having that experience of already, it was sort of a disconnected experience of meeting someone you were told was your father.
Right.
Having my mom and dad between them go through 9 marriages and basically living nowhere more than like 2 years for the first, 14 years of my life. There's a lot of walls and coping. So really appreciate. I appreciate lots of things. I think many artists sort of retreat to looking at everything through a creative lens. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of directing your own life.
You go
and
inward.
And even though things
yeah.
hurt you sort of, it's hard, it's really hard for me to feel completely present in any given moment on every level. And I think it helps and hurts. I mean, my mom, even very young, used to say, you're comfortable speaking in front of a room of strangers, but not like personally. I'm less terrified if someone said, you know what, you're going to have to make up 5 minutes of material in 2 minutes, get on that stage, than if someone said, go to that party and try to meet somebody, right? And so for me, even in moments that I'm like, I catch myself like, I'll just use this one example, that like 2 to 5 minutes that I've imposed, that we have nothing on the phone, nobody at all, in any context with us in the room. Like, I might roll over and we're cuddling, and I have to remind myself, feel her skin. Or the day I'm feeling her skin, I have to remind myself, smell her. Like, I I tend to still subtly, as much as I thinking I'm experiencing it and giving myself a moment, realize I'm blocking something.
Well, you're internally controlling.
Yeah. And so for me, the way I try to unpack my mind is...
It makes it safer. I mean,
So I think what takes me out of the hustle bustle is the, like, 1% of the time I'm successful, but also the 99% of the time I'm aware of trying.
Yeah.
It becomes my whole focus. So even though I...
But it becomes
a
habit, and eventually you don't have to try to try.
Well, even if I'm never successful, okay, everything else is still in the trunk. And I'm outside of it by myself doing this, trying to really feel my wife or whatever.
Sure.
So even if I didn't quite get there, it's a moment where everything else disappears.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, those little morsels are really the purest unpacking of the crazy, wonderful life we lead.
Intimate, in love moments is how you unpack your brain the best.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. Chris Harder, how...
Well,
this was
I know
idea
it was my
too.
Idea. I think I'm a rock because I feel like I'm having a really hard time doing it lately. it's not something.
It's never
easy
to unpack your brain.
No, and I think especially doing what we do as performers and freelancers, it really is hard to relax, or, you know, we don't have a typical 9-to-5, so why would we have a typical vacation schedule?
Right.
Especially when a lot of the times I love my work and I love, you know, getting to perform and, you know, the process of creating a number or, you know, building a show. But it's also, you know, can be torturous because it's always there. And sometimes, you know, I'm dating someone now and when we're together, I try and have moments where I'm like, this is the work hour. And then after that, like, go enjoy yourself and take him in.
Do you find nature helps?
No,
like
I hate
away?
Nature. I grew up in the damn country. I moved to New York for
I'm
a reason.
I'm kind of the opposite, but I understand. I can empathize.
No, totally.
And,
you know, it's funny, like, my mom lives in Montana now, so she's, you know, so when I go home, she's like, isn't it just beautiful being out here? And I think, well, I can appreciate the mountains, but... No. So, I don't always go to nature. Relax.
That's
so,
my go-to.
Totally.
Because I'm projecting all over the place.
No, sometimes what I will do is, like, what I love to do, I've always loved to read as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, especially, like, lately when I've started to get back into writing, so I've been trying to read more. And it really does feel, you know, like people will be like, oh, I binge watched, you know, like 5 seasons on Netflix. And I'm just, since we're not censoring ourselves, I'm totally a judgmental type of personality. So I just start freaking out. I'm like, what do you mean you just sat down and watched like 5 hours of television?
Just veg. You just smoke a bowl and you fuck.
I know,
veg.
But that's just terrifying.
You turn your brain off and let go.
No.
I'm mostly type B. I have my type A moments.
Yeah,
but
you know, like
I am AB positive blood type.
Oh well,
I,
hey.
But
you know, sometimes I will binge read a Stephen King novel for 5 hours. And let me say too, it's not like I'm, you know, like wandering off with Shakespeare's sonnets under my arms or anything like that. Like I love true crime.
Like
I read
a good
Nancy
trashy
Drew,
novel.
Like a mofo. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's...
I have seen the promos for your Nancy Drew.
Yeah, so it's,
science,
you know...
Yeah.
But if I can just, like, read for a little bit, that is very calming for me and relaxing. And such an indigenous.
So your way of unpacking your brain is escaping through a good book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
like
a cerebral
that.
Tip.
There you go, listeners.
Yeah, he has a very big brain, folks.
Fuss apart, go to the library.
It's
right, yeah, exactly.
The other, his brain is probably bigger than even his other parts, which is impressive.
Oh, yeah, if you've seen my movies, you know that.
Don't worry, I haven't, but I'm imagining.
He only reads hardcover books.
Right. No, I mean, my brain is, anyway, it's funny though, like, if my parents used to, you know, make me go outside and play, I'd take a book under my shirt and then just find a tree, but I'd just sit and read
like
under
Alice
it,
in Wonderland
know.
Under the tree with
yeah.
the book. Yes. sounds really romantic and cerebral and sexy. I like that. And on that note, quick question.
Yeah.
Where's the best place to find you in cyberspace?
I have a website, which is harderburlesque.com. Uh-huh. And I also am a big Twitter fan, so if you follow me on Twitter, it's at harderburlesque.
Mantastic.
Mantastic.
Yes. For Palafay.
Yes.
Where do we find you best? Where's your favorite spot on cyberspace?
Facebook, it would be my legal name. Mm-hmm. Ari Faye Bronson -Davidson, parentheses for pa. Mm-hmm. I actually had the Facebook war years ago before it was a thing.
I went toe-to-toe.
Like 5 years ago. Because I started out as faux pas, and then World Famous Pa actually gave me some great advice.
Likewise. She hooked me up, too.
And I think by the time I went through, I mean, since my name is legally changed and my gender is legally changed, I just was like, you know, now people have gotten used to it and they know how to find me. I don't want to manage two pages. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I just thought, well, while people have to sort of do that tag for
do
my
you do
stage name.
Twitter or Instagram?
Yes.
Instagram.
There's a Faux Pas La Fée Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous.
And there is, together we have a website. We do have a Faux and Aurora.
Not a website.
Or Facebook.
Yeah.
You have a fan page.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have
yes.
a fan page. There is a website
URL
being built. There,
incidentally.
What is
if
what?
If anyone wanted to find you guys together.
Together?
Where
they can't find us in the morning for the first 2 to 5 minutes
no.
together.
Right.
They have to wait in the other room.
No.
Find us together as in what?
On Facebook, your
yeah.
the URL for your togetherness. Basically.
It's Facebook whatever.com/faux.
That's
it's get a card asking. Out while I'm talking.
I don't
know.
I'm,
you know
I'm pretty sure it's faux pas
on.
And Aurora North, but it might be faux pas.
I've already liked it, so it should. It ought.
I forget
to
these
come.
Things.
And we're not announcing the name now, but inspired by wonderful people like Chris Harder, we have been developing a duet show, and we have a title and a website which is not public, so we'll announce that just after the new year.
Aurora, folks.
Aurora.
Find
Aurora.
Them together, these
find us together.
That's a great
beautiful lovebirds.
Thank
Faux
you.
Aurora on Facebook.
Aurora on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. There we go. All
right. And Aurora, any other thing you want to... You're good?
You have your
you're
own
good.
Facebook, too, as a
well,
solo,
I do.
Solo act.
I do.
Yeah.
I'm not
she
hiding.
She has a mean Freddie Mercury drag king.
That's so cool.
That just happened. yeah, I mean, luckily, Facebook police haven't found me, so I'm still Aurora North on Facebook. And, yeah, we're Faux Aurora on Facebook as our group.
Yeah. And the dance company can be found at
KA Dance Theater
on Facebook or kadancetheater.org on the website. Kinetic Architecture Dance Theater is my professional dance company.
I'm so happy
cool.
you guys are here in my home tonight.
We're so happy.
Yeah, likewise.
I'm honored, and you're all virgins, and you're so physically fit. I'm staring at three really sexy people. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you. her up, put her down.
So
from the deep ancient primal stream. Voices rising from the deep and ancient primal stream. Arresting me across his lap. Thank you.
times three. Thank you for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. If you enjoy what you hear and you'd like to continue to support independent community media, we hope you'll consider supporting us with a small monthly pledge. You may pledge as little as $1 a month. That's just $12 per year, the price of a cocktail. Please go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge and help keep commercial-free independent radio alive. My name is Velocity Child. Every Thursday at the stroke of midnight, step into the parlor of Fallen Woman, a weekly soiree of artists on the fringe with underground thoughts and voices shared with uncensored abandon through opinions, humor, candor, and song.